to our Coptic Orphans podcast, Cool Copts Doing Cool Things. We'll be talking with the most interesting and influential people we know in Coptic and Egyptian circles. I'll also be bringing you up to speed on what Coptic Orphans is doing and how, by God's grace, we ensure that fatherless children are cared for, loved, and educated to reach their highest potentials. We are so happy to sit down today with Jackie Habib, a freelance journalist and communications consultant based in Nairobi. Her work focuses on social justice, community development, and women's rights. She has reported from a dozen countries on issues including the famine in Ethiopia, refugee policy in Uganda, and the state of emergency with regard to sexual violence in Sierra Leone. Her work has been featured in international publications including CBC, NPR, Al Jazeera, Vice News, Toronto Star, National Post, and more. Jackie, thank you so much for joining us, and we are privileged to have you here on Cool Copts. There is so much to cover.
Thank you so much for having me, Marina.
Thanks, Jackie. So let's start with how you came into the field of journalism.
Mm-hmm. So I actually studied journalism. That's what I went to university for. I was a bit of a nerd growing up. I loved reading, writing, and watching the news. And just naturally, it kind of led to me studying journalism and then pursuing a career in it, which I'm very thankful for.
That's really cool. It looks like everything you've studied has kind of led up to this career path for you. Can I ask what led to the decision to base your reporting out of Nairobi? It seems like you've been in a couple different places in Africa especially, but what had you settle in Kenya?
Yeah, absolutely. So for the last 6 years or so, I've been based out of Nairobi, Kenya. I knew that I had been wanting to do work in Africa, and about a decade ago, I got a placement and an opportunity that took me to Ghana in West Africa. I absolutely loved it and had the most amazing experience. And I knew that I wanted to continue working in Africa. And so I was just exploring different opportunities. And the next opportunity that came my way was a fellowship in Kenya. And so I spent about a year doing that. I was working for a Kenyan media outlet here. And I love the country. I made good friends. And I thought to myself, I wonder if I can stick around and make it work solo. And so I've been freelancing ever since.
Wonderful. And as a freelancer, does that mean that you get to choose the stories you report on and where you get to go? Or how does that sort of career path work?
So I pitch stories to publications and to my clients, and then they also come to me with assignments. So it works both ways. And I'm very thankful for the assignments that come my way. And it's also very exciting when I get to pitch projects and stories in places that might take me around the continent. And so I've been fortunate to travel to several countries in Africa for my reporting. And I always have an amazing time when I'm in the field, chatting with people, hearing their stories, and then trying to do them justice through my work.
Fascinating. And it's really cool that you get to decide, you have some agency there and what you're writing on and what you're reporting on. Tell us how, if at all, how does your background inform your work as a journalist, as a woman, as a Copt? How does that come into play when you are pitching stories or talking to clients, if it does at all?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's definitely an interesting aspect of my role. I grew up in Toronto, which is the most multicultural city in the world, and I love it. It's an incredible city. If you're listening to this and you haven't been to Toronto, go to Toronto and also come to Nairobi, which is also an amazing city. But I grew up in Toronto, which is very diverse. And I would say that for the first time ever, I was a minority and definitely felt like one when I was in journalism school. There's a lot of conversations around this in my industry because journalism is a sector that is dominated by white people. And that was the case when I was in journalism school. Mm-hmm. And it is a problem for a number of reasons. As you can imagine, your background, your experiences, whether it's your gender or your social class or any other factors that make you who you are, that is what inspires you to think of story ideas. That is what makes you care about certain issues, certain topics, or beats, as we call them in journalism, that you might be reporting on. And so when everyone who reports on the news or the majority of people look a certain way, that kind of dictates what stories get told. And so working in Canada, I definitely felt and was a minority in newsrooms and in the journalism sector. Mm-hmm. And I would often, I think, have a different approach and perspective to what stories we should cover and how we should cover them. Journalism is changing now, although there are a lot of issues and reasons why it's a bit of a struggle to diversify media a little bit more. But I am thankful that it's changing and we're having these conversations. It's been a bit of a different experience for me working in Africa, because the people who are running news here, working in newsrooms, look very different and have different perspectives. However, I still do report for many international media outlets. And so I have my criticisms of kind of how that works in journalism. But in terms of how my background impacts the work that I do, I will say that it has a tremendous impact, because if I wasn't who I am, I wouldn't care about the issues and report about the issues that I do. So it definitely makes a huge difference.
Yeah, that's really lovely. I had no idea Toronto was the most diverse city in the world. That was a cool fun fact. It's clear that a person's background and their ethnic background, their social class, their upbringing, where they grew up, what country they're from, makes a big impact on their perspective and the type of stories they are drawn to and the types of stories they tell and how they see the people in those stories. So it's absolutely important to have a wide range of backgrounds, and that way you know that you are getting a better idea, a better picture of what's happening in those cases. So that's really fascinating, Jackie. And if I can ask, do you have any projects that you're working on right now that maybe we can keep an eye out for? Anything we should be looking forward to from you?
I always have projects that I'm working on. So I don't know when this episode is coming out, but we're recording this in February, and March 8th is International Women's Day. And it's obviously a big day globally and for me, because I report frequently about women's rights across Africa. So I'm currently working on a few stories related to women's rights for International Women's Day that folks can look up next month if they're curious.
That's really impressive, Jackie. I'm excited to see what stories you have for us for International Women's Day coming up pretty soon.
Thank you. Thanks, Marina. I also, you know, as we chat about journalism and, you know, a lack of, if you want to call it, minorities, people of color, diverse people who are in journalism, one thing that I wanted to point out and actually chat with you about is, I believe Coptic Orphans has a scholarship that young Coptic journalists can access. Is that correct?
Yes, we do. I'm so glad you brought that up. We have a scholarship for Coptic young adults living in the U.S. who are applying for college. So they're in high school right now, but they're heading to college in the fall. Any Copt who applies must be studying in college the fields of either journalism, political science, public policy, or international relations. So the reason that we have the specific scholarship for those specific fields of study is because we see a great lack in those fields when it comes to representation on behalf of the Copts. There are very, very few people like you who work in the field and who can bring that kind of unique background and that history to storytelling. And especially when it comes to things like government relations or writing policies in the US or abroad, when it comes to shaping the future for future generations, we just see very few Copts in those fields. As you can imagine, a lot of Coptic young adults are sort of pushed a little bit to go towards your typical engineering or pharmacy or medical school, which are all wonderful. But we really think that having more Copts in journalism and other fields similar to it is really only beneficial to us, because it puts us on the map, first of all, and it also gives us the opportunity to bring that kind of unique perspective to places like the White House and to the Senate, mm-hmm. and to places where big decisions are happening in the U.S. So the scholarship is really, really exciting. And it's a $20,000 scholarship that will support a student throughout their 4 years. It's just a really exciting opportunity. We definitely hope people take advantage of it. It's named in honor of Meghan Ateya, who was a physicist and an entrepreneur and an intellectual. He passed in 2020, and so the scholarship was founded in his honor. And he was very passionate about using social media to talk about Coptic activism and like keeping up with the news, and he saw that lack in those fields, and so this scholarship exists in honor of him. So there's only one winner each year, so it's pretty competitive, but it's an awesome opportunity. I would definitely advise anyone who's around that age or who knows young adults that age to look into it, because it's free money. So definitely don't miss out on that.
Amazing. That makes me really happy to hear, honestly, Marina, because as you mentioned, so many people in our community are encouraged to go into the sciences and other professions. We don't have many people in the humanities, in the social sciences, in the arts, in communications, you know, including journalism.
Yes.
And I just get so excited every time I meet another Egyptian journalist.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful that, you know, scholarships and opportunities like this exist to encourage more people in our community to do this and make it feasible.
Yes, absolutely. I totally agree. Jackie, we're almost out of time, but it has been a delight to have you on Cool Cops. Your work is super inspiring, and I can't wait to see what you're doing next. Do you have any last words for our listeners, or maybe even some advice for people listening who are interested in going into the field of journalism?
Ooh, I could probably go on and on and on, but I know who my audience is, and I will just say that if journalism is something you want to explore, whether it's journalism or whether it's something else that is unconventional, for someone of your background, for someone in our community, I would really encourage you to do it. It was not easy for me to enter this profession for a number of reasons, but I really pushed through, and I am so happy that I did. I have been very intentional about the way that I've set up my life and pursuing my dreams. And I really just, as cheesy as it sounds, believe that everyone should be able to do the same. Mm-hmm. And so if you're feeling discouraged and you don't think it's possible, or you're feeling a lack of support, I would just encourage you as much as you can to continue pursuing your dream and reach out to people who have done it, and reach out to me if you want. Actually, I'm everywhere on social media as Jackie Habib, and I'm always happy to connect with folks who want to learn more about doing international development or humanitarian work or journalism, because I'm kind of at the intersection of all of these different things. And so that's Jackie, J-A-C-K-Y, H-A-B-I-B. I'm on Twitter, Instagram, pretty much everywhere, LinkedIn. So connect with me. Don't be shy.
Jackie, it is so kind of you to offer that to people. I'm sure there are people listening who would love that opportunity to talk to someone who's an expert in the field. It's definitely so exciting. So thank you so much for that. And follow Jackie on her social channels. She keeps up with some really cool news all across Africa and other parts of the world. But thank you so much, Jackie. I hope everyone feels as inspired as I do after our chat. And to everyone who's listening, thank you for your continued love and prayers and support for the children of Egypt. If you enjoyed this episode of Cool Cops, follow us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts so you never miss an episode. You can also follow Coptic Orphans on Twitter and Instagram at Coptic Orphans, and visit our website at CopticOrphans.org to keep in touch. We would love to hear from you, so please make sure to rate and review Cool Cops on whatever platform you're listening from. On behalf of the Coptic Orphans team, thank you for listening. I look forward to seeing you on the next edition of Cool Cops Doing Cool Things.